What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is Friday, June 21st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Are you in Philadelphia? In 1 week, I will be going to the Phillies game with some pitchless people. I will also be meeting at the Xfinity Lounge at 5 p.m. Eastern Time before that game on June 28th, Friday. If you are interested in coming, please, please, inside of our Discord, send me an email at info@pitcherlist.com, or you can just DM me on Twitter. Not DM me, actually just do a reply at pitcherlist. Let me know that you're coming so I can plan ahead of it. We will let you know more about it, but pretty simple. Xfinity Lounge, 5 p.m. next week. It's going to be fun. I'm going to go to the game after. It's going to be a great time. Hope to see you there. Gavin Stone had a golden goal yesterday as he went against the Rockies in Coors. 5.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. I want to give him more appreciation. Doesn't have a very good strikeout rate. It's about 20% this year. You could say he's essentially the Spider-Man because he doesn't go a 25% strikeout rate. That would be the best Toby. You could say that about Gavin Stone. I feel like he's a little bit more of a Holly. He should be closer to 22% or so. Thing is, a changeup is his best pitch. He throws good four-seamers. His slider doesn't really show up that much. Only 7 sliders in this game, but the changeup was good. Four-seamer was good. And yeah, I want to give more appreciation for Gavin Stone, who now has 8 wins on the season. He's going to continue to do that because he is an efficient pitcher. He's able to go 5-plus all the time, if not 6 innings constantly. Other guys here, we have Chris Flexen, who's flexing at the beach. If you don't know this stupid bit that I've been doing, essentially flexing in the mirror is him not doing well and dreaming of better days, while flexing at the beach is him showing off. And 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks, got a gold star because this was against the Astros. That's lovely. It's really good to see this. He has a lot of IVB on his four-seamer, which is kind of cool. He had a cutter that's always there, kind of arm side, actually rather the glove side, but it was also a change in curve working down. Like, what? You don't really do that, Flexen. So it's kind of cool. He gets the Dodgers next, though, so who cares? But yeah, Flexen is more streamable as a dart throw, like a cherry bomb streamer, than I thought. Because I thought it was just like a couple starts of being okay, and then it's not, and it's kind of more 50-50 than I expected. Ryan Nelson against the Nationals, 2 earned runs of 7 innings. Baseball is stupid. Why? Because you have guys like Ryan Nelson who are not doing anything special in this one. I watched this. It really is not special. And he just threw fastballs in there, and the Nationals just obliged. On the other side of it, Mackenzie Gore was spotting well, doing all the right things, and he allows 10 hits and 2 walks. And he gets singled out for a loss, 5 innings, 4 earned runs. 7 Ks. And it's like, the guy's pitching so much better, and baseball just is baseball, right? So, I'm such a fan of Mackenzie Gore. I don't think he's a cherry bomb. I think he's better than this. I don't think he's going to have this, like, 350 BABIP or whatever ridiculousness it is. That's why his whip is as bad as it is, and it's so annoying. I just don't think that he shouldn't have, like, a 9-plus hit per 9. He just shouldn't. I don't know if that is a little bit of a sequencing thing, but Mackenzie Gore is way better than this, and I heard in the chat that someone dropped him. I would absolutely go and get Mackenzie Gore everywhere. Seth Lugo against Oakland. If you didn't listen to the latest episode of The Craft with me and Eno, it came out yesterday morning. Eno obviously is incredible and had this really great conversation with Seth Lugo just about the ways that he manipulates his pitches. And entering the season, I gave Eno a ton of credit for this, and Eno, of course, being Eno, deflected. But there was a debate of, like, who do we like more, Seth Lugo or Michael Wacha, both going in the same situation with the Royals. I liked Wacha more because I just thought to myself, you know what, I trust the command more, I trust him, I know what he is more than I know Lugo. And I just feel like, okay, Wacha has a really good changeup and more consistent command. That feels like something that I feel better getting 6 innings out of, while Lugo was more volatile, and last year was, like, what, 3.60 ERA with a 1.20 whip. Following him start to start, I was like, he's fine. He just isn't really more than like 2 fastballs and a curveball, and sometimes a slider shows up. Now, in that episode of The Craft, Eno mentioned that at the end of the year, Lugo, they were eliminated from the playoffs. Padres is about to be a free agent, and Lugo had a bullpen when he didn't need to. They're like, hey, it's your bullpen day. Like, do you want one? And worked with the pitching coach to be like, cool, you want like a cutter gripper or whatever? Like, let's just mess around with things. And he had this bullpen where he kind of figured out some more pitches before the season ended, right? Because he had nothing to lose. Seth Lugo throws 8 pitches now. Wow. It really is incredible. And he manipulates his breakers. He throws some different arm slots. and he throws both, pretty much all of his pitches from both arm slots, so they can't read from the arm slot what the pitch is. It's really cool. That said, I don't believe that Lugo's quality of pitch is that high. It's kind of like a Bassett situation in my view. Maybe slightly better because the secondaries, like he spins it really well, while Bassett's really good at that sinker and doesn't spin it as well. But it's still not like ace dumb to me. It's like he's a Holly, and that's cool. So he's going to be around like 40 or so. He has a good floor. He has a floor that I thought Waka had, and it's better with Lugo. That's really it. And this was against Oakland. But I just really wanted to give like the full on, like, how much do I believe Lugo and everything. I understand it more. I was missing this earlier in the year about just the variety of pitches. And that really does help him. He does have this weird, he does have like some volatility because there is nothing that I think is truly exceptional with Lugo. But the variety and the way that he's able to have just more, he's a veteran in the way that he's able to manipulate the baseball. It's like he has real command, not like that of a rookie. Okay, cool. Veteran presence. I don't know what else, like, it's aged well. It's seasoned. There you go. Mitch Spence against the Royals. Honestly, he has one of the highest PLV sliders because he throws tons of strikes with it. Same with the cutter. And those two pitches, he throws them in the zone a ton. If he doesn't throw them like right down the middle, Mitch Spence is fine because pitches that move for strikes are good. I mean, that's just what it is. Mitch Spence just goes really cutter, slider a ton. He did one of the coolest things ever, I gotta say. And I gotta bring this up with you know, because this is just amazing. You know the Blake Snell blueprint, right? Which is essentially hard stuff upstairs, slow stuff down. It makes sense. You tunnel appropriately. Spence does the reverse, and I call it the Spence blueprint surprise because that's SBS as opposed to BSB, which is cutters and sliders up and then sinkers down, which makes no sense. But it's what he did, and it was 6 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. Makes no sense. I don't get it. Like, you see it high, you swing. If you see it low, you swing. Like, if it's low, it's going to be a sinker that sticks. If you see it high, it's going to be a slider or cutter that comes back down. I don't know. It worked. It's wild, and I love weird things, and this is the weirdest thing I've seen. Semien Woods-Richardson against the Rays. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. When Woods-Richardson does the Dancing with the Disco, which is the which is slider focus and just for lots of strikes, he's good. I mean, this was actually down in glove side and not even like well over the plate, and that's cool. And honestly, the change curve and four-seamer like found the zone very comfortably. But then, then the slider was effective. So like, I get it. And the fact that he's throwing strikes and not really all over the place and chaotic is good for Semien Woods-Richardson. But the thing is, this is kind of the ceiling for him. It's like a 3 ERA, 1 whip, and 6 K start. It's like the Bailey special, really. But without Bailey Ober's consistency with strikeouts, right? And also going 92 pitches in 6 innings is kind of a rarity for Semien Woods-Richardson. So he's like, he's really just a Toby at this point, I think. And only for bad offenses, because this was the Rays. I don't know. I'm still back and forth about Woods-Richardson. Zach Littell on the other side of this against the Twins. We'll talk about him in a moment. Same with Adam Mazur, Allen, Ari Getty, and others. And we'll talk about all of those after this break. So Zach Littell was on the other side. 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. We'll take this. He led a home run to Royce Lewis, because duh, who else hasn't? There was one splitter that was like, all right, fine, there it is. Go take it, Royce. But like, yeah, I gotta give him props for like just throwing splitters and sliders and like making it work. And that's cool. Yeah, actually, I don't think it was a splitter. I think it was maybe a fastball. I don't remember what it was that Littell threw to Royce. But it's interesting to me. Littell is very much of a guy of just like, again, things that move over the plate work. Littell's just doing that. It's not really that exciting. There is a low floor. Okay. Adam Mazur is probably his last start because we're going to see, Darvish return to the rotation. And he had three walks again. 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks, 87 pitches. A lot of times I see guys and they're very close. Like, actually it was with Jack Leiter, believe it or not. They're close, they're nibbling, they're just out of the zone as opposed to the chaos. And the thing about the chaos is that chaos generally is an even split of in the zone, out of the zone. While with Adam Mazur, it was always a little too far out, right? So at least with the chaos, you get like some calibration, like here it is in the zone. Okay, cool, you got those strikes. And now Mazur didn't get those same ones. So if he can nibble a little bit better, he's really good, but he's not there yet. Logan Allen against the Mariners got a win, 6 innings, 300 runs, poor quality start, 4 hits, 4 walks, 2 Ks. I don't like Allen that much. I don't know. It was just kind of the four seamer was a little bit off and he threw other stuff instead. And yeah, Logan Allen's fine. It was against the Mariners. If he gets anyone better, you don't do it. Spencer Arrighetti, oh my gosh. 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, 2 Ks. One day, Spencer Arrighetti will actually locate his four-seamer. Why do I keep thinking he will? He probably won't. Cutter is really good. It's actually one of the highest PLV pitches in the majors. One of the highest PLV cutters. Maybe actually in the majors, really, overall, like a 5.7. Because he throws it effectively for strikes. And he has a sweeper and curveball, and like, those are good. And they should be even better if he actually throws four seamers where they should, upstairs in the upper third, or like just constantly for strikes, and he just can't do it. I actually wouldn't be surprised if Jake Bloss, who goes today for the Astros, he's jumping up from AAA, from AA. And I apologize, guys, yesterday I mentioned that I quoted some stats that weren't quite right. From AA, he has about a strikeout per inning. I watched a little bit of him, I don't really know what to expect, and it's against the Orioles, and we're not really going for that. But if Jake Bloss does succeed here, I wouldn't be shocked if the Astros just go, you know what? Arrighetti, sorry, buddy. We're going to go with Jake Bloss instead, you know? Because Arrighetti does need more polish here. Sorry, past the Pirate. Andre Pallante against Keaton Wynn, and I really dropped the ball here because for these special games, like if you remember Field of Dreams, for example, this was in Rickwood Field, and awesome, by the way, an awesome thing. But generally, offense favors these games. Because, I mean, they essentially, you know, maybe the balls are different, the dimensions of it, the whole field, the whole thing is just generally, like, better for offense. And I should have realized that when I put Keaton Wynn as a probable start. 2.2 innings of 5 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 2K. Okay, so we just kind of move on. Don't do anything ridiculous there. Andre Pallante, and by the way, I put out a Twitter joke, Andre V. Giant, as in Andre the Giant, and I thought it was the funniest thing ever, and, like, everyone's like, I don't get it. It's fine. He got the win, 5.1 innings, and really the big news there is 95 pitches. Wow. Okay. So that's kind of cool that they're letting him do it instead of the sub 60 from last time. I don't really know why. Maybe they go every other with him. He gets Atlanta next, so at least we're just not going to do that one for Pallante. But I think there is something there that does allow him to it's a four seamer with cut action. If he throws that for strikes and then he has like a curveball underneath or something, like okay, that can work. But don't start him next time, Andre Pallante. Okay, cool. Bryce Wilson against, he allowed 500 runs and 10 base runners. Okay. Bryce Wilson is a werewolf, and he did well last time and didn't do it well this time because, yeah, once a month. 4.2 innings, 500 runs. Luis Castillo, very frustrating. 5 innings of 500 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. He went 29% changeups, the same number of changeups were thrown that is 4 seamers, which is weird because it wasn't that good. And 7% CSW with his slider faring far better against lefties. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, no, he saw left-handers, so he only threw changeups. I mean, the slider was better. I don't understand. Just kind of weird. Castillo, don't do that. I mean, you're saying, oh, the Guardians are better against this or that. Like, I kind of hate that because for me, I remember this. I had a quote from I had this really, really terrible coach multiple times in my career. And my high school coach, the worst, by the way. And anyone that knows about Berkeley Carroll, and knows this coach understands it. I had someone for a travel team who I got really upset at me because I noticed that the guy on second base was stealing our signs because my catcher was a very rookie catcher, very just kind of catching for the first time, didn't understand how to like sequence of like, hey, one, you know, put down three signs and I know which one is the one. Very rudimentary. So I called time, I taught him it, and we got through it, and my coach was really upset because I wasted time, right? And he said, It doesn't matter if they know what's coming. If it's you, just like throw the thing because you are better than them knowing what it is. And I actually think about that a lot because I see a lot of pitchers adjust their game plan and what they throw based on what they think is a weakness to the batter. But then they do themselves harm because they are throwing something worse that's not their best. And I feel like sometimes good pitchers do that. It could have been what happened yesterday with Luis Castillo. I think the slider would have been better, but maybe not. I don't know. It's just something that's always a thought in my head of over-adjusting, too big-braining, as opposed to just like, this is what I'm good at. I'm just going to do the thing I'm good at. If they beat me, hat tip to them, right? Don't overextend. Don't try and do the extra thing to like bluff their bluff kind of thing. Cole Irvin against the Yankees, 4.2 innings of 500 runs. I mean, yeah, he couldn't go one more out. He would have gotten an easy win. What was that, like a 16-4 game or 16-5? I mean, yeah, that's it was the Yankees, but I'm still not going to go after this against the Guardians next for Cole Irvin. Ty Bloch against the Dodgers and Coors, come on. And last but not least, I mean, at least as far as performance goes, but really, Luis Gil against the Orioles. And I regret this because, you know, I made the point and then I just didn't lean into it. I'm just really stupid. I saw Luis Gil. I'm like, this is going to go one of two ways, which was correct. It went one of them, but I should have said it's only going to go one way. Luis Gil is a guy who is young and has a problem throwing strikes, right? And I figured that he was going to be amped for this one, and he was a bit. And I thought, okay, he's going to be amped and just overwhelm them, or he's going to be amped and he's just not going to throw as good pitches and he's going to get destroyed. And he got destroyed. 1.1 innings of 700 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 1K. And seeing this, I was like, oh my gosh, Nick, like you had it. Like, yeah, obviously this is going to be more risky than good. Like, come on. However, I watched it. And honestly, he didn't pitch badly. The Orioles really had an amazing game plan. And this is where I could have said, Nick, this is going against exactly the point you just made. But props to the Orioles. They were jumping on every fastball Gil threw in the zone. They were on it. They thought to themselves, hey, look, Gil is now throwing strikes with this. We got beat by this before. We're not going to be passive. We are just going to attack. And they had a 91% zone rate on all four seamers that Gil threw. And there's a reason why they had 8 whiffs on the changeup, because they were just selling out for the fastball. And here's the thing. Cedric Mullins had a 2-run shot on a backdoor slider in an 0-1 count, which was a great pitch. And then you had a changeup on a bases-loaded situation against Mountcastle. Correct call, because they're on the fastball. It goes inside off the plate. Mountcastle's ahead of it, and he pulls it down the line, barely inside of the line, right? And that is three RBI. That's 5 of your 7 earned runs. And the first inning, they were attacking. He allowed 1 run, fine. But, like, not bad. And I gotta say, like, Luis Gil did not really pitch that poorly. The Orioles just had a really good game plan and was ready for it, and they went after it, and they got it. And they were just on the heater. I can't express that enough. They were really just attacking it. So, props to the Orioles. Luis Gil, I don't feel like is all of a sudden worse or something like that. This is just one of those games. Looking forward to tomorrow's outings. We don't really have any updates today, I don't believe. Maybe we have 1 or 2. We do. Whoever is going for the Diamondbacks, well, what we know now, Jordan Montgomery goes against the Phils. He did have the best command I've seen all year last time out. It is Philly. Very risky. Near bottom of questionable start. Same with Chris Paddock. He's a cherry bomb. Even though it's against Oakland, we saw how bad it can be. So both of those guys are back-to-back. It's Brady Singer, Chris Paddock, Jordan Montgomery, then Trevor Rogers. Okay? Then we have, and no Bailey Ober gets pushed to tomorrow. Tomorrow's starting pitchers, speaking of which, we have Zach Wheeler, Tyler Glasnow, Corbin Burns, Logan Gilbert, Jared Jones, and Bailey Ober in that top tier. All of them get good matchups except for Corbin Burns, and who cares? It's Corbin Burns. Then you have Nick Pivetta, Zach Eflin, Jesus Luzardo. Pivetta I feel fine with. It's okay against Cincinnati. Eflin against the Pirates. You have Luzardo against the Mariners. I mean, I understand the whole back thing, lower velocity, but that apparently is fine, so he should be healthy there. We have Ronel Blanco against the Orioles, which could be very tough. I think even Blanco, it's like immovable object in unstoppable force kind of thing. Curious to see how that one's going to go. Marcus Stroman against Atlanta. Jose Berríos against the Guardians. Jordan Hicks against the Cardinals. Tyler McGill's our stream pick of the day against the Cubs because I think the McGill's cutter is a really good addition and it saves the four-seamer's questionable command. And Mitchell Parker in Colorado, which I kind of feel like you're going to do because it's a four-pitch mix. He's pitching well. I think it's all right. And questionable start to you have Cal Quantrill starting that one off because I don't quite know if the splitter will be there. You have Miles Michaelis, who's just been kind of gold in the last, like, month or so. Going against the Giants, especially in quality start leagues, like, fine. Max Scherzer returns from the IL. That's cool. Still ill here. Don't expect the world from him. He's going to turn 40 in a month. And we don't really know how long he's going to go and if he's really going to be as efficient as we want him to be. So, and the Royals are good. Just be careful here. And the bottom five here are very questionable. You have Jameson Tynan against the Mets, J.P. Sears, Cherry Bomb against the Twins, Ben Lively, who had a bad start after coming off of not an IL, undisclosed his injury that delayed him, and he's fine apparently, but then he looked as bad as I've ever seen him all year, and that could have just been the disruption. It means the Vargas rule is totally over. Kenta Maeda is going against Drew Thorpe, so both of those are bad offenses, and we know how bad the floor could be, but there's also like decency in there too against a bad offense. Then do not start tier. Charlie Morton against the Yankees. I don't want to touch that. Michael Wacha is still ill against the Rangers, who aren't as bad, but of a matchup these days, but yeah, you don't want to do that. Frankie Montas, at least he'll go six innings, but he's just Carlos Rodriguez, Randy Vasquez, Tommy Henry, and Zach Plesac. And I'm looking at chat right now. Rye Bread, thank you so much for saying something because it looks like there is an update actually with Milwaukee. He's saying that Carmen Myazinski might be starting instead. Maybe that's an opener for Colin Ray. So don't read too much into that one right now. And so it looks like it's Carlos Rodriguez for tomorrow. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to record. I'm sorry for the Pirates. It's not the Brewers. The Pirates. Yes, that would be an opener for Luis Ortiz. That is it though. SB Fab forecast is coming out today because I'm not traveling today. Next week, I'm going to be doing the SP Fab forecast on Friday. I will be in Philly, but I will make sure that that's out in the morning, so don't worry about that. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low, and your strikeouts high.